गणपति गुम हवा महे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रृण्वन्नुतिभिः सीदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सर्वोपनिषदो गावः दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् So let's sit quietly a few moments. And as you sit quietly, repeat the sound of Om mentally, as we've been doing out loud in the other classes. As you repeat the sound of Om, the A, you can see as the creation, something comes into being. U, as preservation, it's there for some time. And Ma, as the dissolution, whatever comes into being then dissolves, resolves. And then there's the silence afterwards, which is the sadvastu, the existence absolute, that which is there at all times. Just like in the water is there before the wave came, while it's there, while it's dissolving, and after it's gone. The water is always there. So the one presence, the one sat, is there throughout the whole process and beyond the process. So try to repeat it mentally a few times, focusing in this way in the mantra. Try to see within this whole process of creation, preservation, destruction, the one sat, one substance, is always there, untouched, as the same water is there throughout the whole process of the wave. Om Shanti, shanti, shanti. So we've been looking at the ninth chapter, and we started this one section where it was comparing then somebody with more of the rajasic tamasic mind compared to the sattvic mind, because this is extremely important for our endeavor, which is really, this is what helps to remove the misconception I have about myself and about the world. But the thing is, the proper instrument is also needed. We call it chitta shuddhi, or we call it also acquiring the sadhana chatushtayam, all these different things, but really making the mind that is more sattvic, then this will, then the vision sticks easier to the prepared mind, mature, qualified mind. So this was comparing the two, talked about what is the vision of somebody that has more of tamasic, rajasic mind and more sattvic mind. So we got to number 13, right here we did last time, which said, Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakriti mashritaha pajantyanantyam manasaha yatva bhutadim avyayam. O Arjuna, having taken to sattvic nature and having known me to be the imperishable cause of all beings, the noble souls, on the other hand, worship me with an undistracted mind. So ananya chetaha, ananya cheta manasa. So what actually it's ananya chet, ananya manaha for one person, ananya manasaha for multiple people. Just the Sanskrit goes like that. So in any case, when something is seen as the primary, very important thing for somebody, their attention's always in it, like this, right? This is what happens. So I think a good example is somebody who is running for some office when they're trying to get to that position, then that's what their whole life for those few months or whatever is focused just in that. Everything else resolves around it. Whatever the responsibilities or family or anything, that's the thing, that's the goal. Or the student knows, I'm studying, I'm going to finish and get this degree at this time, so the focus is that, everything else works around it. The classical example actually they give is the train ride, where you're on the train ride for a distance, and when you're going on the train, in India the train is very different than here, but it's changing there too. The chaiwalas and all these others aren't appearing as much from what I understand. It's also changing that many of us aren't taking as much. I used to take the train a lot. Nowadays, you know, you get on the flight and get to where you need there. But in any case, you know you're going to your destination. You know it'll take a day and a half or whatever. And then on the way, you know, you get off, you get some snack, you browse something, different things like this. But your mind is on the goal, you're going to that place. And your mind is on that goal because when you get off the train, you're really paying attention when your train is leaving, because otherwise you'll get stuck. So in this way, so the ananya other places says ananya chetaha, that's why that's coming to my mind, but ananya manasaha here. So meaning that having a clear vision, this is the goal, what they're after, this is what they want to see. Even my notes, I wrote ananya chetaha, because that's how I've seen it in many other places like this. So, meaning whatever stage in life I am, yes, I have some duties, some responsibilities, but that doesn't contradict with my vichara, like this, because I understand what the higher goal is. I understand that's what I'm here for. Other responsibilities, duties don't contradict with it because they're useful for me to, actually it's a very useful, my duties are very useful also to check my ragadvesha. I'm doing things as needed. Then I'm doing because of dharma, so it's helping for purifying my mind. I do because I want like this, I prefer like that, then it's more my ragadvesha. So then it's actually a very good measure for the mind itself in this way. So they don't have to get in the way of what I'm looking for. Because actually your nature is your nature. It doesn't, whatever position in life I am, whatever place, it's still your same nature. It's not something different. So So it doesn't have to get in the way. Everything else that I do, like this. In general, otherwise we went over this verse in detail last time. So let's continue onwards here. So number 14. Satatam kirtayanto maham yatantascha dridhavrataha namasyantascha maam bhaktya nityayukta upasate. So it's saying, constantly praising me, striving with firm resolve, and surrendering to me with devotion, these ever steadfast ones worship me. So dritavrataha, having strong vows. What happens now? It's still January. I'll tell you an interesting thing. When I was in the Shivananda Center in New York for many years, then January, suddenly the attendance will grow, you know. Suddenly, so many people are coming. New Year's, everybody wants to be healthy, wants to do yoga and things like this. Then what happens? February becomes the lull, goes down. So I'm sure that it wasn't just the Shivananda Yoga Center there, but other yoga centers, health clubs, anything else like this, fitness clubs. Because January, people make their New Year resolution. Okay, I'm going to be healthy this year. I'm going to do this. But then what happens is that dies down soon. So that's not dridavrataha, that's not strong resolve, that's having some idea, trying it, but the resolve means I'm doing and that's it. There's no question about it, like this. So what happens is when it's just will, I'm going to do this, then it's harder to keep it up. There has to be some other motivating power behind, something very important I will do, like this. And actually about this is an interesting thing that doctor's office I went to a long time ago, they had this poster on the wall, which anybody know that smokes, you should give them this poster. Because it showed a lady that has a lot of tar all over her. And it said, if smoking did affected you on the outside, as it does on the inside, you would stop very soon. Like this. So in this way, one has to really think forwards. What am I really after? What am I really looking for? And actually, that's something people are kind of escape from. Yes, we're in the world. Yes, so there were some goals. You want career, family, all these things. But the thing is, we see as we keep going through that nothing really gives me the total fulfillment. It gives some fulfillment. Obviously, it's not that it doesn't give anything. What I'm really seeking for, I'm not finding. So meaning that I need to look in some other way. This is the logical way. But then people keep changing. I'm looking for something else in this way. So here, the only way is to see something beyond this limited. Because any limited goal you achieve, then soon after is now what? How long is that going to fulfill me? Some years ago, I read the autobiography of Nelson Mandela, and he had written it, and it ended at when he became prime minister. And he said it was very similar to climbing a mountain. You climb, and there are many difficulties, many hardships, and it looks like you're about to get to the peak, and you get to that place where you think it's the peak, you get there, but then you see there's more to climb, like this. And so you can relax a bit, but then you have to keep going. So there, his whole mission for decades, with being in prison so long, everything, to change South Africa worked, but it didn't solve everything. Solve some problems, but not everything. So with the worldly things, that's it. You can solve some things, but you can never solve everything. Always there's something there. So the worldly thing is not going to, a worldly solution is not what's going to bring me that contentment I'm looking for in this way. So here also the vrata also means commitment. They're committed to this knowing the truth. They have jigyasa, the desire to know, because the understanding comes that one wants to be free, one is a mumukshu, and then one has to not just be a mumukshu, but how am I going to be free? And what happens is people have different notions about this, right? I will work in a certain way, I'll live a very pure life, I'll worship this deity, I will go to Vaikuntha, I will go to heaven, then I'll be free. So people have this idea, but still means I, as this limited person, will be free. So I'll go to a better place. The better place means still there are some issues still limited, so it doesn't totally do it. So if bondage is a reality by bondage, then it's not something you can get rid of, because if it's gotten rid of in some way in some time, it can be ungotten rid of, right? It can be lost. Anything gained can be lost. So the only way that moksha can be there, it's not something in a time or place, not something that comes from an action, but from understanding. That's where the mumukshu becomes a jignyasu, wants to be free and understands clearly that it's just from understanding. Jnanat eva mokshaha, they say only from knowledge, from understanding, one becomes free. Because the only way one can really be free, if fully free, is if one already is like that. Otherwise, if bondage is real, then moksha can never be real. It'll always be some limited thing. Here, look, worldly freedom. There's no complete worldly freedom. There is worldly bondage and worldly freedom, but not full freedom. No such thing. Right? You want to be free, but you're dependent on breathing. You're dependent on food. Dependent on so many things. On the atmospheric pressure. That's what how this whole setup of the earth that we can live here, how rare it is, right? To have this exact, it goes a little off here or there, and that's it. Life can't survive here, right? So the freedom, physical freedom, there's no such thing, right? You can be freer, yes, but it doesn't give you full moksha, what you really want, because really I want to be free. I don't want to be bound. So here it said, these mahatmas, as it's saying here, mahatmanaha, meaning that they understand that from jnanam I can be free. Understand what I have to understand what I really am, not what I think I am. When that's clear, then there's no problem like this. So that's how dritavrataha satartam kirtayantaha mam. So what is their focus in? Glorifying the Ishvara, they're focused in that because they're looking for that. Somebody who has a strong interest in something, that's what they're seeing around them. Like the example they give is a business person is always looking at things as business, how they can do business. They go on vacation with their family somewhere and they see in the restaurant the business going on and they get involved. Oh, how do you do this? Where do you order from? How much? Gives them some tips, you know, if you order more in bulk, you can save some money, you can do a little better, then you can fix up the place nicer, who knows what, like this. The interest is in that, like this. So whatever the interest is, it goes into. So if this is where somebody's interest is, they're going to be focusing on what is this behind everything. Because Namarupa, the name and form, is just the external. What is really behind it? So this is what happens. So their attention will always be in that, right? So everything depends on that, but this doesn't depend on the other things. That's what the substance is. So what is this? An amazing, amazing thing the scientists want to discover, but the scientist's way of discovering it keeps you, the individual, something separate. So it can't be the ultimate behind everything because it's just looking at the material world. Like this. So what is really behind everything, behind me and everything? It can't be just the physical substance like this. Okay? So in this way. And then it says also the yatantaha, meaning yatantaha, they have self-control. So as we said before, having to have the chitta shuddhi, the purified mind like this. One nice thing I just heard recently, this is one lady, she's been learning, she learned Swami Dayananji for decades, and she comes to the ashram, Pennsylvania. I've seen her there many times. So so she, every day she posts in WhatsApp one small quote, whether Swami Dayananji, Swami Tattviranandji, Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta Maharaj, different things every day. So she, one thing there Swami Dayananji said, which is so nice and practical, was such a wonderful tip. Because now in this, she focuses a few weeks or some time on some quality or something. So now about anger. And Swami Dayananji said, what is anger? It's a reaction to something. Something happens, so it's an automatic reaction. There'll be other impulses like that too, but this is just one example. So he said, you have to sit to meditate and that bring the thing that causes the anger to mind and just let it be. Because the thing is, I'm reacting to it. If I let it be, then I learn not to, you know, not to have the thing control me. What a wonderful, people try to control their mind through focus, but this is really such a wonderful way to do it, because you're taking the thing and learning how not to have that be controlling you, meaning that it doesn't push my button, I'm aware. So maybe at first the anger, some upsetness comes up, but I observe how it happens and I just let the thing be as it is. Slowly, slowly it can be easier to deal with that thing in this way, whatever it invokes in me. So such a wonderful point given like this. And on the same note, Swami Tattviranandji loves to say, let things happen naturally. Let things just move along naturally. So it's the same thing. Let the thing go. The world will keep going. The story, whatever is of my life will keep going. I can just, you know, remain uninvolved in a way, meaning I don't let it pull me. Don't let those reactions, I learn not to be reactive. I learn to do the actions as needed, not to be reactive. Then I'm free, because then whatever happens, it's okay. And it doesn't control me. I can do what's needed according to my position, duty, situation, but it's not controlling me. Such a wonderful advice like this that they give. So this thing, you just sit there, the thing, something that you know that causes that reaction in me, you just sit with it and watch it and just let it be as it is, you know, let the world be as it is, right, like this. So this is yatantaha, having self-control. This is really how you control it. The forceful control, I'm going to be still, I'm going to be focused. It has its place for some, this yoga practice has its place, but then really one has to learn how not, like this. That is the surrender, letting go. The world will go on, it's going as it is. And then when I can be detached like that, then I can look at the things more clearly. Both I'm freer and then I can examine better. Like the scientist who has they're very attached to what they're trying to find and the way they're doing it, they'll be biased. They won't be able to look into it properly. So here also I want to look and see what is really behind everything. But then I have a strong idea about it. Then how will I do it? I'll be caught up in that idea. So in this way, and namasyanta, excuse me. So we said yatantaschav dridhavrataha, excuse me. Namasyantaha cha mam bhaktya. They also are surrendering to me with devotion in this way. Now what happens is, if it's 100% just self-will, everything, I'm a self-made person. Right? Self-made Vedanti. This Swamini disciple of Swami Dayananda, she likes to say that it doesn't work. Just on your own, this won't work. Because then it's just your own effort, it depends on you. My thing, my idea. So, and that's the issue, is the I is the issue. My idea of I is the issue. So surrender is needed. I have to surrender to Ishwara too. Now, so if I'm just saying my way, I'm going to find it, my will, I'm going to get to it, then what happens, I can get, that can make me more arrogant, because I know now, I found it, right? How the other guys did, maybe it's okay, but I know, like this. And then somebody who's just surrender without that, right? Then only surrender, then it'll be fatalism. I can't do anything. Everything is happening as it'll be. I don't have any say over anything, then one can become a fatalist. So both are needed. I have to put self-effort and surrender. Both are needed. My effort to do, I come listen to these things, I study these things, I look at them, yes. And I also surrender because I can't take myself to limitless. I can do my best and I have to surrender. I can take myself to the door like this. I can take myself, okay, I feel there's one presence and I can stay with it. I can say, I'm aware, just stay with the fact I'm aware and stay with it. But then I can't make myself just be the impersonal awareness which everything appears within it. Or absorbed in, okay, there's just one presence. There's no individual. That one, it's not in my hand. That's where the surrender has to be. Because you can take yourself close to the door, but then it's beyond just me as an individual what we're looking for. Because we're looking beyond the individual. And the individual can't take themselves beyond the individual. It's like trying to stand on your own head, not headstand, but on your own head. You know, I stand on your shoulders, but then I want to stand on my own shoulders. So to stand on my own shoulders, if I can do, then I can go to Cirque du Soleil. Then I can get a job there. But really speaking, you can't stand on your own shoulders. So really speaking, you can't make yourself be there. So that's why this surrender is needed. Okay. So full surrender in the end. The effort needed and the surrender needed, both are needed. You can't disregard one or the other like this. Nitya yukta upasate. So ever with their attention in this, ever with their focus in this, then they do the upasana, they are focusing in this. Because what there's two different things in upasana, I think we mentioned earlier on in other classes. Well, in any case, almost everything we're saying was repeated at some point before, because there's not so much new. After you come from some years of Vedanta, there isn't so much new. You get more insights, but it's looking into it. But in any case, so upasana, one is you do some sort of meditation or worship. I sit there and meditate. Yes, I hear the sounds. That is going to be the akasha. Akasha is really manifestation, Ishvara. I feel the ground underneath me. That's prithivi. Prithivi comes from Ishvara. It's Ishvara. I can do like this. Some sort of upasana sitting down. I'm breathing. There's the life force. Life is the life within me. There's one life. That same life behind everybody else, behind all living beings. And I focus on that. That's prana upasana. One life behind everything. So I can sit and do something like this. But then that's one part of upasana, one type. The other type, what upasana is my vision in life. What is my vision? My vision can be, you know, that I'm some limited vision of limited idea. Let me get to this place. Let me make this much so I can retire comfortably, family be comfortable. That's my vision. My vision is something, can be of so many other levels, so many things. What is really the vision behind? How really am I looking at everything? So this one then is this upasana. So their upasana is always on the seeing the one behind everything. Seeing it like this, seeing beyond just the limited momentary things. What happens? Something happens right now, right? It's like a wave in the water. Now I think it's something big. I look back 5 years, whatever was big then, what is it now? What is it? Some memory. What is it? This moment I take it as something very great. Later on it's like a dream. It was so, and what was I when I look back at all the memories, everything, yes, I'm aware of all these ideas. This moment also I'm aware of some ideas. Future anything comes, I'm aware of the ideas. So what is behind this? The awareness behind it, that's the essence. Instead of being caught up in the external short-term thing, what about what is really the essence? Right, people wise in life, they work towards something that is more more sustainable, more long-term vision instead of immediate vision, right? Like this. So that's better thing for us. Instead of just momentary enjoyment, how can I live healthier, longer, better quality in this way, we think. So here also, instead of just some limited vision, what is the most expansive vision? So they have the most expansive vision. What is the one behind everything in this way? So this is how their upasana, like this, how they look into this. So then he's going to continue here. Next verse, continuing on the same topic. Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mam upasate ekatvena prithaktvena bahudha vishvato mukham. Worshipping through jnana yajna, some others think of me. They worship me in many ways, as different from themselves, as identical with themselves, or as the multifarious one. Like this. So here now, introducing also the three different levels of in which we can see Ishvara, see the God. One is prithak, here, as prithak, as separate, meaning this is the God in this form, right, with these ideas, or in this temple, belonging to this religion like this. This is the God, something like this. So that's prithak, meaning separate. And then also we can say ekarupa ishvara, God with the one form. The God is this, has these four arms, has these things in the arms, has this color, wears these things, or whatever other particulars we want to give it. That's just one example, but you can take, you know, there's so many examples like this. So that's one level, beginner level if you want, like this. Then Vishvato Mukham, having all over, meaning seeing the God in and through everything. God manifests as everything. This is the next level. This is the Vishvarupa Bhakti. See the God as that which is manifested in and through everything. Then the last one, that is, so Aneka Rupa, having numerous forms, endless forms. All forms are of that. Like all waves belong to the water, all forms belong to the one substance of the God. Then you have the ekatvena. Ekatvena is one. Ekata or ekatva is oneness, so one. This is the highest level. This is called arupa ishvara, without form. Because if it's one, it'll be without form. The moment there's a form, meaning there's change, meaning it can become many also. So then it's not one anymore. So the one. So three different levels, and a lot of time the progress will go from ekarupa to anekarupa to arupa. If we've come here to Gita this far, everything, then the ekarupa we can pretty much put aside, because that one is more of an introductory beginner level. And some people, though, they take the Gita and they want to keep Sri Krishna as the ekarupa, the one form, and that's the God and everything. But what can we do? You know, the human mind can also put many, many interesting ideas. So when one is ready, they'll see further, like this. Just to give example of this, how we hold on to limited vision. So, you know, the proselytizers come. And the proselytizers, they come, it's ekarupa ishvara usually. That's their idea of the God. So one time when I was in Shivananda Center in New York, somebody came in proselytized like this. Interesting, they chose a place like this to come to, but no problem, they came in. So when they're talking about Jesus, so I agreed, yes, it sounds, you know, Jesus, all-powerful, divine. And I said, can Jesus manifest as anything, do anything? Yes, Jesus can do that. Really, any form, any time, yes. So I said, well, before Jesus came, 2,000 years prior to that, Krishna came. Could that be Jesus came in that form as Krishna? Can come in any form. No, it's not like that. Why not? He can do anything. But it's not in our scripture. It's in a different scripture. It's in way before. So of course it's not in that scripture. It's a different time and place. So like this, the you know, easy for somebody else has some stiff idea and to, you know, point the illogic about it. But then when my logic about holding on to the form, strong idea, and seeing beyond it, that's really, you know, more commendable to fix my problem in it like this. So if that did something to make the person think, that would be wonderful. If not, what to do? But in any case, so these three, and an interesting thing is, when you have Ekarupa Ishvara, here Pratak, separate, God is separate. Since God is separate here, each thing is also something separate. You see separate, it brings us to see separation, because it's Dvaita. Dvaita, there's dualism. And so if that's separate, everything else also starts getting compartmentalized and separate. It's separate because this is my sect, that's somebody else's sect. It helps to, because I see the God is separate, it helps to bring the separate, the idea of separation, to strengthen that like this. And this, so this is Dvaita. When you come to the here called Vishvatomukham, the Aneka Rupa in all forms, then actually this one, from Vedanta perspective, we see as upasana to prepare the mind, to expand, just to try to see beyond just the appearances like this. Because as upasana is, you're not understanding, but you're thinking like that, expanding your vision. So, and anyway, there's no exact line demarcates upasana ends, jnana begins. You can't, it's a general set, general way to differentiate, but you can't find a demarcation line. Like, it's like the India-China border where they had the scuffle a few years ago, because it's unclear in the in those mountains there where the exact line is. It's around there. So somewhere like this upasana and jnana. But in any case, so, but just keeping this upasana as is, just at, from this perspective, you can see it as Vishishta Advaita. Vishishta Advaitis, they say there's Aikyam, there's oneness, and there also is non-Aikyam. So yes, in some way you're one with Ishvara, but some way you're something separate. So they give a reality both to the oneness and to the separateness, which is, which actually, from that perspective, I feel, yes, the God is behind and through everything behind me. Yeah, it's one. Oh, but I'm putting my own effort. I do my own thing, so I must be something separate. The ocean is one, yes, but the wave has some sort of form, and so that must be something separate. So it is like the experience of an upasaka, yes, that sometimes they feel one, some not. But the weakness there, they give a reality to two conflicting things. Because there's oneness, but there isn't oneness. It's like there's darkness, but there is light. What do you mean? If there's darkness, light can't be. You can't, you know. So, but the thing is, that's Vishishta Advaita, because yes, at that point, you're trying to feel the oneness, but isn't total oneness. Because God manifests as everything, still there's the, every this everything still has some level of, you're giving it still some level of existence like this. And then the here, ekatwa, the one, right? There's the one at that point, then that's advaita. There isn't multiplicity like this. There's just the oneness, because if the one appears as the many, it's one. The manyness is just the is just an appearance, it's not the substance. And again, this idea came up years ago in our classes, and again, I don't think I saw it somewhere, but just because I don't think doesn't mean it really didn't come from somewhere. Just say, oh, I thought it come, and if the way it was expressed a little different, still it's from the teaching, so we can't say we have our own ideas, and this is it, but it was brought up, and many times it brought up in classes then is, you look at yourself, that you're one and you're many, depending from which angle, right? I know I'm one individual, but then I'm many because I have many thoughts, and maybe my right leg hurts but not my left leg, and I have arms, legs, so they're different apparatus like this. So am I one or am I many? So you can't be one and many. That doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't get to the bottom of it. So the thing is, which one is there all the time is going to be the substance, right? And the oneness is there all the time, because the manyness sometimes is forgotten. We're always one. So it's a very good thing to reflect on, am I one or am I many, like this. Very, very good thing. Helps to bring some very nice insights about it. So in this way. So one thing also is, when we have a clear idea of where I want to get, a destination, then, you know, then I will really work towards like this. And the thing is, most people don't have an idea about this destination. And when it's not the destination of knowing oneself, of Atma, then it'll be some limited thing. And that limited thing, first of all, you know, can you really get to it? Meaning that it's not going to, I didn't analyze it enough to really see, is that really where I want to go? Is that really, will really take me to where I want to be? So people don't, the thing is, innately people want to find this contentment, but they're not clear what they really want in general. That's what happens. That's not clear. Meaning I want it, but okay, so where is it? How do I find it? So this is something that is just the human condition like this. I think I'll find somewhere, but I don't, so I have to analyze it closely. Now with this verse, this is the way that, this is the way usually it's looked at in this way, but there's another way that this verse can also be looked at, which Swami Dayananji actually in his, he has this text called, it's Gita Home Study, which gives two big volumes of Gita. Some of the insights we have in the class come from there also. And it was set up that, I think it's from his talks, or probably transcribed, and a lot of people do create Gita study groups using that in this way. But in any case, so there he brings a different interpretation of this, which is interesting. Because right now we're talking about the jnani or the jignyasu. So we're talking about Vedanti. So how come it's going to jump now to this other thing, to comparing these different levels of bhakti? He says, no. Ekatvena, you see the one behind it, there is the oneness. And pritaktvena, you separate is viveka. Atman, atma, viveka, like this. So this is how he says it. So then it says, okay. So first of all, you need the viveka, pritak. I as the observer, atman, atma, viveka, I the consciousness, am not the observed. What is observed? Namarupa. I observe something, and then I give it some name, right? I see this picture on the wall, right? And there's a person there. I say person. And then the person, I say that's Lord Vishnu, or that's Arjuna in this way. So I see something, and I give it a name. That's really, and so what? So whatever it is, I feel some sensation. I feel sensation. So I have some idea about it. Idea, I give it a label, so then. So what happens, pratak, I as the sakshi, the witness, the awareness, am not that which is experienced. Atman, atma, viveka. And this we looked into a lot, I think, in our tattva bodha and everything. So what happens is, okay, so this the nama rupa, sensation, and the I have the perception and the conception, because I perceive and I conceive. They go together. I'm not those ones as the witnessing awareness. So it's pratak, it's separate. So that isn't me, like this. So that's ekatvam, there's just one. Because here it's jnana yajna. It's jnana yajna cha apyan anye, other, the others, meaning the mahatmas, they see it differently through jnana yajna. Their jnana yajna is this, seeing that I'm as the conscious being separate from everything. Now, once the viveka is clear enough, then what is the other? Like this. In the dream, what were the others? They were me. They weren't other than me. Right? I remember something from the past. What are all the things I'm remembering? They're me, because it's my mind now. Now it's in my mind. So I'm thinking everything there is me. Right? I remember you from other time. Now, since I'm remembering you, it's me, because it's in my mind, plus I add the idea of you, so it's not separate from me. So the jnani will see, well, I've done pure viveka, I'm the atma, I'm the witnessing consciousness. What is everything else? It's something that's appearing within the awareness, like a wave within the water. It's not separate from me. Because what happens is, okay, I'm just the witnessing awareness, there's no, then whatever else is there is namarupa plus the awareness. And namarupa doesn't have substance, it's mitya. Because I've seen it's anatma, it doesn't have substance, just an idea. So then really it's just, all is water, all is gold, right? All is the witnessing awareness. All witnessing awareness, sakshi, is actually when it's as observing the other, then it's just atma, right? Just universal consciousness. So then one, then it's, so pritak, and then ekatva. It's called the saratma bhava. So this is what it's pointing out here. These people do this upasana. And what kind of upasana? Vichara, jnana yajna. Look into it like this. And then through viveka, they know that they're the conscious, the witnessing awareness, not namarupa. So namarupa then becomes mitya. It doesn't have substance. And then there's only I. That's why they see everything as themselves, because they know everything is themselves. Because they see you. You, the namarupa, they know. The namarupa, they know, is not having substance. But the substance behind it is same as them. Not them, the individual. Because they know them, that person, individual, is also mitya. It's the consciousness, which is the satyam. So this is this other interpretation like this, that this is showing these two different steps in Vedanta. What is pointed out a lot is the viveka is the sadhana, and the pala is the sarvatma bhava. It's not that I will make everything be of me, but by understanding that I, as the conscious being, am not any of the perceptions, conceptions, then they lose their substantiality. I see that the namarupa is mere appearance of them. So the result will be that I see that there isn't any separation between anything. That the limitedness is just apparent like this. So this is a very nice interpretation given to this verse here. Swami Dayananji gives in his commentary like this. So those worship me in which way? In these three different ways, or as Vedanti, they through viveka and then through jnanam, they see that it's only, there is only the oneness like this. Okay. So let's, next verse now turns a page. The page turns, it also turns to next topic here. Aham kraturaham yajnyaha swadhaham aham aushadham mantroham aham evajyam aham agniraham hutam. I alone am the ritual prescribed by the Shruti. I am the ritual prescribed by the Smriti. I am the food offered to the ancestors. I am the food of all living beings. I alone am the mantra. I am the fire. I am the ghee. I am the action of offering. Sounds very similar to a well-known verse in chapter 4 that we've looked at earlier, right? The Brahmar Pranam Brahmavihi, Brahmagno. Same thing here. Really almost the same imagery also brought up. And here in these few verses, looking at the Aneka Ishvara Bhakti, seeing everything as manifestation of Ishvara. Now here, different examples are going to be given. And then one will say, okay, why give the different examples? Everything's Ishvara, just leave everything as Ishvara. That's it. Well, if you just say that, it's not going to be as, it won't drive it in as much. It'll be not as easy to remember. But when certain examples are given, Then we start looking close and see, oh, this one is. Yeah, this one is. If one is an Uttama Adhikari, what do we say, gunpowder student, totally ready, everything. Yeah, they'll just say, look, everything is the one presence. Oh, it's the one presence, okay. Like a Ramana Maharshi. But the thing is, we hear something and then, okay, it registers a little, but how practical is it? So we take each thing and see, it's here too. It's here too, it's here too, slowly, slowly, then makes it easier to see that there's the one behind everything. So here, the few examples given here is Aham Kratuhu and Aham Yajnaha. Yajna is more general form for worship, Kratu specific Vedic worship. So saying Vedic worship and the ones that come from Smriti from later, that are from other texts after Vedas. So in any case, the Yajna itself, the worship itself, the sacrifice, this is, that itself is the Ishvara. Now one thing is, when I want to see Ishvara in everything, when somebody starts to see Ishvara in the more negative things or lowly things, it's impure things, it'll be harder to do. That's why some religions talk about all the goodness as that is God and the evil or negative is not. Because that's where we have to start. It's more apparent and easier. But later one has to see that God isn't limited to anything. If it was limited, it's not the God. It's some limited entity again, like this. So this is the important point here, why this is done. In Sri Rudram, so many dacoits and lists of a dozen different kinds of dacoits and murderers and things like this, all them seeing Lord Shiva as manifest as those, or Rudra manifest as those, as part of it, to show, look, it's in and through everything. Give so many examples there. So all the negative things we call negative that come, that's also part of the same. You know, it's the same thing, same Ishvara is there too. But here then, since at this time when this text originated, then the religious life ritual was very prevalent, and that's seen as something more holier and more uplifting. That's why this is looked at, because it's easier. They'll say, yes, the text comes from the Ishvara. The Vedas are the words of Ishvara. So then easier to see it there and then slowly expand further. Okay. So all different types of rituals. Swadha aham, also the offering to the ancestors, also very common thing. So all this, you say these are ritual, meaning it has some religious thing, something connected to the God. Yes, that is the God, right? Aushadham, okay, aushadham, also the you might say the prasadam, you get some prasadam from, but here it's not saying what was offered only. This one actually, interestingly, it seems a little, I'm sure there must be some commentary on it that I'm not aware of. Somebody must have looked into and said, well, why aushadha here? It's talking about the ritual. How's that connected? That's something I didn't see in the few that I looked into it. I'm sure people find reason for it. But the food itself. Actually, yes. That was a bit of a side. But there is a reason why aushadham, as food, is given here. What happens is, it's giving a few kinds of yajna, Vedic yajna, other kinds of yajna, to the mains. Also, eating is also seen as yajna. You eat, you offer to the Jatara Agni. Jatara Agni, the fire of digestion. So that is also, just like you offer food for the mains, you offer something into the fire in the yajna. Here you're offering it to the digestive fire, because that's also see it as a manifestation of the God, because eating can also be seen then as yajna. And then actually, what happens is, you do yajna, you're going to offer what is good for that specific God, right? You're going to offer what's right for that. You offer, when you do puja, do you just go and find some old fruits in the house and bring them to offer? Where do you go to the store and get the nicest ones, right, nice and fresh? Prasad, you make something nice and fresh like this, and you don't touch it before your offering. So here also, if I say it is yajna, I will eat what's good for the digestive fire, not what my tongue likes, right? I eat for the... So what is really healthy for me, what is really good, I'll offer to the God there. So that's why Aushadham. So then the whole ritual, mantra, also the mantra, how you say the mantra, the Vedic mantra, I will say yes, is this word of God. And any religious thing, they'll say yes, this is the, this mantra is the vibration, it is, the sound comes from that. Very interesting thing, how they say whole creation came from vibration, right? So whole thing, so Ma Saraswati, the vibration, the energy, whole so it's knowledge. Knowledge comes into sound, language. The whole creation is like this, made out of this. Some people have some nice theories. The whole, the vibration, the sense or language, that's creation of whole world. We see all these as upasana type things, but it's a nice way to look at it. Years back, when I was in Jerusalem, visit a childhood friend of my mother's who lives there in Jerusalem. I don't know if she's still alive or not, I have no idea. But in any case, so we are in her house. There's a picture, drawing of Jerusalem, the walled city, and there's the Hebrew alphabet beneath it. So then I asked, what is this mean, the meaning of this drawing that you have? She said, the whole creation comes from the language, like this, from the sounds of the language. So that's why Jerusalem is the holy city. So same idea, very interesting. So here, mantra, the vibration, the holy, the pure vibration, that's going to be the God too. So mantra, aham. So again, easier. All sounds are that, but easier for me to start with in the ritual. Because then when I do the ritual, it's expanding my idea of the ritual. Usually somebody does a ritual, I'm doing the ritual. The ritual is offered to something holy. It comes from holy place and it'll purify me. And I'll take care of the items that I'm using for it because it has to be pure. But then expand the vision, see everything to do with it is also that same divinity. It's not you're just doing it for the divinity, but expand your vision, the whole thing, everything connected to it, that is the divinity. Now, Ekarupa Ishwara can't fit in here then. I'm offering to Shri Krishna, so Shri Krishna is sitting there, I'm sitting here. How can Shri Krishna be within this, within something else there? Aham Eva Ajyam. Ajyam, the ghee, what I'm offering into the fire. What you're offering, that is also. No, to be offering to Ishwara, yeah, but Ishwara manifested this. How could it be without Ishwara manifesting his whole creation? How can this be offered if that's not Ishwara? Like this. And then I'm Eva Ajyam. I'm Agnihi. The Agni itself is also the God. No. The Agni is, I offer to Agni. Agni is the delivery boy, right? Brings it to the gods like this. No. That's also manifest, right? It's also this. And aham hutam, I'm also the whole action of offering, right? Brahmarpanam, that's right there, arpanam, right there, same thing. So expanding my vision, see everything is manifestations that at least in some conditions, see that at first. And then you can expand it to other activities as well in this way. Because who is offering, what is offering, to whom is offering, it's all that. This is brought in the, I'm assuming again, this isn't from written somewhere that I read, but I'm assuming it's expansion on this one point that's brought up at the end of Taittiriya Upanishad. End of Taittiriya, the one rishi there says, Am annam aham annada. And it's actually that section is highlighted. It's highlighted because of the swara. The swara is pluta, am annada, three long. Very few places is it pluta. Usually it's just hrasva dirgha, short and long. So one matra, two matra, but here three, extra long, so it highlights it. So I'm the food and the eater. What do you mean by food and eater? How can I be, what do you mean by that? Well, what is food meaning? What is eater? The one who consumes. Consuming meaning I experience things. Experiencing is consuming. I see. So meaning I'm the one who sees and I'm what is being seen. I'm hearing, I'm the one being heard. Right? I'm thinking, I'm the one, the thought. So, as in previous verse with Swami Dayananji's interpretation he gave, right? After the Viveka, then the Namarupa. I'm not the Namarupa. I'm not the Namarupa, but Namarupa is me. Whatever is behind it is me. Namarupa, you remove just the limited idea of it, and it's just I remain. Just the awareness remains. So here, I'm the food, I'm the one who eats the food. Okay, so to expand on that, possibly, just an idea, the rishis then said, okay, offer to the god and offer food to the god has in everything. There's the god in this. And then expand a little bit further, because that idea is a little bit limited. Let me give some other thing as a stepping stone for people. But people get stuck in the stepping stone like this. Again, if it came from that directly or not, but worship and everything came as a helping us as a stepping stone like this. So here, take the worship one step further. The whole thing, what's in it through behind everything there is the one God, the one presence in it through the whole thing. As Brahma Arpanam Brahmavihi. Same thing like this. Then it changes my vision of it. And then once I can do it with the ritual, can I do it with another action too? Why is it different? It's my mindset that makes something one or the other. Right? I think if it is something holy, it's my mindset. Somebody else thinks something else like that. So it's the mindset. So, but it helps too for upasana. Let me expand my vision further than just the limited thing. That seeing things limited, this helps to unify them more and more so I can prepare the mind to see oneness behind everything. So in the few verses here, this section that was started here, is giving a few examples like this of Aneka Rupa Ishwaram, of the one which is in and through and behind everything like this. Okay. So we'll stop here and then next time we'll continue.
Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Thank you all very much for putting up with a little bit of my mananam. Hopefully we're enjoying too. Very good. So we'll meet next week.
Thank you so much, Ajay.